welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Okay, we got this lunch thing, and...
Yeah, next week. It's like 3 or 4 days away.
That's going to be good.
I'm excited.
It is. Midwestern does such a good job.
They do.
Putting...
We've been a part of this, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah.
You've been on
this? It's been a great relationship.
Exciting.
And I appreciate Midwestern and what they're doing for the church. But we want to thank them for their ongoing sponsorship of Rainer on Leadership.
Yes, and the ministry landscape is changing. And if you want to get your MDiv, you can get it from Midwestern. It's their flagship degree program and the primary track for ministry preparation. In just 81 hours, Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Why not start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv? And the luncheon that we mentioned, it's at the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting. And if you're interested in that, we've got the information in the show notes for today. So it's next week. So
for those of you who are part of the SBC tribe.
If it's not sold out.
Yeah, that's true. Could be sold out by the because we're recording this ahead of time. So it could very well be sold out as well. And for the listener, that is the Southern Baptist Convention. And we understand that we have a very broad audience. And it would, for those who are part of the SBC, you know that that's in Dallas during this time. So let's talk about Facebook.
Let's do that.
So what I'm going to do is let you ask the question, and then I want you to answer it. And I'll be right back in about 20 minutes.
Because you understand how Facebook works and social media and what pastors should do online, and I'll speak into that as well. But we've got 7 tips for pastors on Facebook, and there's just kind of some ideas on what to do and how to do it and how not to do it. But one perspective on pastors and Facebook is to keep it limited.
Yeah, keep it limited is another way of saying don't do stupid. Just make sure that you have just a certain number of people.
Yeah,
that you're talking to, so that when you are posting something, you're not having to always think, now, okay, who are all these people out here? If I say this, am I going to say something really stupid as a result?
Yeah, because some pastors I know, they just kind of keep it to family and close friends, and they don't offer. Church member, they don't accept things for church members, or they have a separate page, not a profile,
which we'll get to
in just a minute. So there's a couple different ways to do that.
By keeping it limited, it gives you the ability. And when I said don't do stupid, I should say that there might be some things that you would say of a personal nature to a small group of family.
Yeah,
you're just joking with them, having a good time, that may really seem weird to the church members. Mm-hmm. Reading in, so that prevents you from that type if you keep it limited. So I do know that there are a number of pastors who have a very limited Facebook, and they just want friends, close friends, not even church friends.
You were that way for a while.
Yeah.
It's only in the last year or so that you kind of opened it up.
Yeah, and I didn't even tell you that I was doing it. You know that?
You just did it.
I just started.
Whenever you started asking me stuff about what my wife had posted online and other people in the building, I was like, well, wait a minute. I didn't know you were active on Facebook. And you're like, yes, I am.
And I've kind of enjoyed it. I really have. So I added, we'll be talking about the fan page in a minute, but I added, I started getting active on the personal page as well.
Because the other perspective, tip number 2, say yes to as many church members as possible.
If your church is within size.
Because limited to 5,000.
5,000 on the personal page. So you have to, and you know, here's an issue. Okay. You're at First Church in Georgia, okay? And then you have a call to Third Church in Missouri.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with all those church members that are
your
friends?
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah. I think I'm going to unfriend you just because I'm going to another church. Well, they may want to keep up with you. So therein lies a challenge with the 5,000 rule.
It just sounds kind of weird, though, whenever you're talking about, hey, join me this Sunday or whatever, and the people that are like 2 or 3 churches back are going, no. it's just kind of an odd thing. So if you're posting personal stuff on the page, maybe it's a little bit different. It's close friends, those kind of things. But that could get weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange for me. I mean, we've moved 2 or 3 times since I've had my Facebook page. You've moved? And yes, I have moved. I moved actually like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So we got a new house down there right near you.
Yeah. Not only
the
do
same
we,
neighborhood.
Not only do we travel together, we are now in Franklin together. Yeah.
So I'm on the other side of the interstate.
It's a good side.
It is.
And listen, audience, if y'all think he's saying that I'm on the good side of town and he is not, it's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. Jonathan is in a very good area. His wife took a position in a church in the area. So that's why they moved to Franklin.
And Dr. Rayner is jealous of how easy it is for me to get on and off the interstate to my house.
Yes, I am. I am. The 7 miles from my home to I-65 is the longest part of my drive.
Yeah.
It's about half of it, actually. So, yeah. I don't know how we got there.
But, okay, back to Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. So, the person not on Facebook may seem irrelevant to pastors. So, I mean, if you're putting a lot of stuff on there, if people aren't on there, they kind of missed the boat, I guess.
Yeah. I can totally see that happening, and that you don't have the connections, you don't have the personal knowledge of that. So you've added people here and you've added people there, and so
but if you have church members and you're connecting with them and you're active on Facebook,
yeah,
and say Amy J is active on Facebook, Amy T's not.
Okay.
I know everything's going on, Amy G. I know when her kids are having, you know, the plays at Mount Juliet or whatever that the kids are doing. I know the other night her daughter had pictures for dance, and I saw the pictures.
Oh, I just nice thought pictures. Of a Beach Boy song.
But,
man.
Amy T's not on there and posting stuff about her kids, I don't know anything. And like, her life seems irrelevant to me because I may talk to Amy J about what's going on in her life or, you know, her and Chad. But I don't know what's going on over here. So Amy T just kind of takes a back seat to relevancy in my mind and my life.
And therefore, you could end up appearing to show favoritism.
Exactly.
Because you go up to some person and they're highly relevant because in your life. Because you know what's going on. By the way, I learn what my wife is doing from y'all.
There you go.
I mean,
what she's painted and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, for whatever reason,
where
I'm
she
not,
is.
I'm not, yes. Amy J told me today, that was really something about, she wanted to get every minute of the beach, and she was still at the beach in the dark. So what are you talking about? How did you know my wife was at the beach in the dark? She posted a video.
There you go.
I haven't seen the video.
You might
I don't know why it's not in my feed.
Friend Nellie Joe.
Well, I am friending Nellie Joe, but I didn't see it in the feed. I've got too many people in my feed, I guess.
But at the same time, it's not really up to you what you see in your feed.
Yeah, that's Facebook.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's really weird.
All right. Number four, the risk of posting. This kind of goes back to, you kind of touched on this in the first, you know, doing stupid, but the risk
of
posting.
Well, in the first one, we talked about doing stupid because you're saying things where people don't have a clue what you're saying, and it appears stupid.
Yeah, they miss context.
Yeah.
Especially,
the context. However, a lot of people have said things that they have absolutely no business saying.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Saw that happen to a pastor recently.
Yeah. Pastors do that. Staff persons do that. I have actually seen pastors get into quarrels with church members on Facebook.
That's not wise.
It is. It's not wise at all. I mean, think of the outside. Not only think of the
former
church
pastors.
think of the church members looking, but think of the outside world.
Oh my gosh.
Looking in. So
terrible.
Think about what you're posting. Think about what you're saying. The world is watching, and if you don't think the world is watching, then do something like that, and you'll all of a sudden see that the world is watching.
So, what's a good framework of should I post this or should I not?
I try to stay away from political issues if I'm on a pastor or staff. All you're going to do is make some people mad. You're not going.
If you wouldn't say it from the pulpit, don't say it on social media.
Oh, that's probably good, but then
maybe a little bit tighter fences than usual. Yeah, but at the same time,
you can say some family stuff and stuff on social media that you might not say from the pulpit. But a political, controversial, anything that could be construed to be inappropriate, you know, think twice about it before you put it on there. So those are some of the risk of posting. And we know, Jonathan. We know. We've dealt with a number of pastors and other staff persons who've been there.
Yeah. Well, there's also a unintended consequences of the risk here that I think we maybe don't talk about enough, and it can be an issue. Is that if you're posting online and like maybe it's during business hours and you're posting two or three things about places that you are, people don't think that you're working.
Yeah.
So there's a risk there that people see, you know, you're kind of opening up the, you know, putting your life in a fishbowl, and some church members may think, well, all he does is, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, you're posting stuff online. People kind of can keep tabs on you somewhat.
And there's risk there. People do keep tabs. Yes. And even if you think you're obscure and not known and you only have 30 or 40 friends, they'll keep tabs on you.
Yes, they will.
They'll know what you're doing. Be careful.
Yeah. Number five, the risk of others posting on your personal page.
This was actually the fear that you had for me about being on a personal page. Because once I started posting things, you knew that the critics and the crazies could then come back and say things. But I got to say this, at least from the context of Tom Rainer. They are there, but it's like people expect them to be there now.
Oh.
Especially with more, to call myself a high-profile person, which sounds a little self-promoting, but with people who are well-known or maybe better known than others, it's almost gotten to the point where we know the crazies are out there, and they're almost ignored. However, if you're a pastor and you're in a small community, medium-sized community, and you're not used to the crazies and the critics coming on, this is an opportunity for them to say something about you. And just think if your church took a moral stand on an issue, a good biblical moral stand, and all of a sudden you riled up some people who had opposing viewpoints, and they start coming on and they start saying things, and they may not even talk about the issue that you're talking about. They just come back because they don't like you.
And then they go to your church page and they start writing stuff on that about you. And
yes.
Then that gets nasty.
Yes. And there's all
and you can be 100% right.
There are all kind of unintended consequences. Yeah. They start doing reviews on other sites about your church.
Yeah.
And they start talking about how lousy the church is. So, God.
Yeah.
I am getting off social media, Jonathan.
And it could be something that you're absolutely right on, biblically, morally, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And they just have a different worldview, different perspective, and you become a target.
Yep. I have put things out on social media about the exclusivity of salvation through Christ, and I've gotten hit hard about that. That's your narrow-minded, bigoted view that John 14:6 is really right. And so I've been hit on more than one occasion by that.
And you say, yes.
Yes.
It is my view.
Yeah. That is. But the point is, other people now can respond to you, and it's a risk, especially if you're in a visible position such as a pastor or staff member of a church.
All right, number six is a way to, I think, mitigate a lot of the damage here is to consider the fan page, or the potential damage, not the damage.
Talk to the listening audience. Okay. Describe to them what a fan page is, because it sounds like you have to be a celebrity to have a fan page.
Yeah, and see, I think that's the perception that people have, and it's something that you kind of got to get over. Because if you do the page instead of a profile, you can control who posts to it. If people can comment, you control what goes on there. The only downside is you're seen less by other people. And it has that stigma of, well, they just think they're a celebrity, which is not the case. It's just maybe that you keep your fan page and your personal profile separate from one another. And the personal stuff is just for family and close friends. And then the page is for anybody and everybody, because it doesn't have the limits. Anybody can, you know, like your page or whatever. But
In the fan page, you're relatively new in the world of Facebook, and it's been like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yeah, compared to the grand scheme of things, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a fan page for a person rather than a business, that's it's even newer than that. But, I mean, 6 or 7 years in Facebook age, Dr. Rainer, that's like being 62 or 63. That's old.
Oh, that hurt, Jonathan. That hurt. And for the listening audience, as of right now, I am 1 month and 8 days away from being 63 years old. And that's why Jonathan's kind of, and Amy J's going to have a July 16th birthday just like I am, but be a lot younger than I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the fan page, a great way that kind of gives you maybe the best of both worlds, I guess.
Yes.
Because you can do the public and you can do the private.
Who can get a fan page?
Anybody.
Really?
Anybody.
Wow.
We could have an Amy J. Penn fan page.
Wow.
There may be one out there. I don't know.
Well, you know, as well known as these two ladies are, Amy T. and Amy J., they need to get fan pages because they may have more.
They don't have the personality for it. So, well, Amy J. doesn't have the personality for it.
So. Now, what does that mean, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, just, you know, being out there and with the people. Okay. MG is more of an introvert.
Really? Okay. I thought I was the chief among
introverts. Not a shot at Amy T. She's awesome.
Okay.
But anyway, so don't send those cards and letters.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Okay. So fan page is a good option, especially fan page plus the personal page.
Yes. I think that's a good option for pastors. If you can kind of live with the celebrity state. But it's not too bad.
No.
It's not too bad.
I find myself posting more to my personal than my fan page. Hmm. I guess you post some things for me on the fan page. I know that.
I manage that.
Yeah, and the blog posts and things like that go to the fan page. But
we do our Facebook Lives there. So if you don't like Tom Rainer on Facebook, go find Tom Rainer on the page. The page, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Click at TomRainer.com. There's a Facebook icon. Take you right there.
Okay. Check Sounds like out. A winner to me.
Because we do some neat stuff on there. So, all right, finally. Show your humanity without showing too much.
Yeah, the key that you want to, on any social media is you want to appear real and social, and you don't want to appear high and mighty. You just simply want to be able to say, yeah, I have some of these same issues. I go through this, but at the same time, you can talk too much. You can say too much about yourself. You can say too much about your family. I'll actually confess this. I said something about one of my grandchildren, not negative one time, and the parents asked me to take it down because they were just saying, nah, we just don't want that out there, especially with your audience. And so now when I post something about my 10 or whatever the latest count is on grandchildren, when I say something, I'm now thinking about their parents.
Mm.
And what you know, I ask the question, like, what would Rachel do? What would Sarah do? What would Aaron do? And the people they're married to, whatever their names are. And so I'm asking those questions because part of my humanity is my love for my family. Part of my humanity is the fact that I adore my wife and my sons and my daughters-in-law and my 10 grandchildren, but I've got to be pretty careful, especially when I'm talking about little children, about what I'm putting out there. And I know I'm getting a little past the humanity issue, but the reality of it is I've got to show that I am a real person, and I hope that I'm fairly consistent on social media with what people see otherwise. Someone told me recently, I'm not going to say who, that with some of the Lifeway employees that I can be intimidating. And, you know, I never think of myself as intimidating, Jonathan. Do you think of me as intimidating?
No.
Oh.
But I could see, I don't because I know you.
Okay.
Know you well. We've traveled quite a bit. We spent a lot of time together.
But it's positional authority is what
people
it is.
People are intimidated by your positional authority here in the building. I mean, you get on the elevator with me sometimes and somebody else gets on and they freak out. Or like I think we've even had people like not get on the elevator because they didn't want to be on the elevator with the president.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe it was just they didn't want to be on the elevator with me.
I got on the elevator yesterday and there were six or seven people on the elevator and I could tell they were a little uptight. You know, what I do, what I say. You know what I did? I played music for them.
Oh, okay.
I did. I was
worried about that in answer to that question. Now I'm going to have to get like the Beach Boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I played that on the elevator.
Okay. That's loud. So
that kind of relaxed things.
Which era Beach Boys was that?
That would have been the early 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the original guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Would have been close. They may have had one you in at that time, but going back to the issue, you don't show your perfection because you aren't. You show your humanity because you are.
Ooh.
And you just make certain that you don't go overboard in some of the things that you say on there. So this is good advice for pastors. We said 7 tips for pastors on Facebook, but this applies to anybody vocationally within the church as well.
All right, one question we haven't answered or asked, I guess we should have at the top of the episode, and probably made more sense then, but should a pastor be on Facebook?
I think so, because if a pastor is not on Facebook, he is not in the community. And one of the things that we advocate is being in the community.
Yeah. That's where your people are.
That is exactly.
That's
where
what
they
the
are.
People in your community are. Your people in your church are.
And you're going to see them, quote unquote, air quote. I didn't give air quote, but it would have been. You're going to see them more in Facebook than you're going to see them at the local coffee shop or the grocery store.
That's good.
So that's where you will see them. So, yeah, I think that it would be horrendous not to be, especially on Facebook. If I'm a pastor or staff person, I'm going to choose one social media. It's going to be Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I like Twitter the best, but yeah. I would choose Facebook as
yes,
a pastor.
Yes, I'd agree with you on that.
All right. Well, we are grateful for those pastors who and staff people who connect in that way. But we're also grateful for our longest-running sponsor, Vanderbloom and Search Group.
Yes, their Fall Pastor Coaching Network at their Houston headquarters in September and November is open for registration. There's two networks. There's one for lead pastors, one for executive pastors, only 16 seats in each. So you've got 16 spots, and they're filling up fast. So you need to get over to vanderbloomen.com/coaching to sign up for this roundtable network where you can grow as a leader so that you can grow your team and ultimately grow your church. Once again, that is vanderbloomen.com/coaching for more information. That's going to do it for us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us today. I think this is information that you again and again will need to hear about, because this is where the world is. This is where your church members are. And these are some of the basic things you need to know, not only you pastors, but also the rest of you who are on staff.
Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.